Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Happy May the 4th, everybody. It's the first 73 minutes of tonight's game represented the drudgery of the Star Wars prequel trilogy. Then everything after that point was more in the realms of the original trilogy. Basically, we went from Jar Jar Binks boring us all to sleep to the Rebels blowing up the Death Star. Real Madrid, the masters of the remontada, have done it again. And for another season, Manchester City have failed in their pursuit of a first ever European title. I'm here with James Bench and Jimmy Conrad to unpack another euphoric night for Los Blancos and discuss the prospect of a repeat of the 2018 final. ¡Qué golazo! Champions League Wednesday recap begins right now. Everybody, welcome. Yes, you will. Welcome, everybody. May the 4th be with you. What a ridiculous game once again. Jimmy Conrad, how are you?
I'm in disbelief. I'll be honest. I can't believe this is real. You know, it's one thing to do it maybe once in a Champions League where you have some miraculous comeback. They've done it for 3 consecutive rounds, round of 16, quarterfinals, and now the semifinals. I guess this proves why they're the most successful team in Champions League history.
Absolutely. James Bench, thank you for staying up late with us. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'll be a lot happier when you can it with the Star Wars nonsense.
I will keep going, I will, if you keep asking. I know, moody James Bench, I'm going to give you Star Wars quotes the entire time if you keep complaining. Hey, everybody, welcome. Champions League Wednesday recap. We have a final. Look at that man, Carlo Ancelotti, and the chaos that is Real Madrid. I've done it again, as Jimmy says. But we want your comments. We want your questions. What do you think, Real Madrid fans? What do you think, Man City fans? What do you think, Liverpool fans? Are you excited at the prospect of a revenge session from that final from years ago? Unbelievable stuff, but amazing. Man City were leading 2-0 in this second leg until the 90th minute. 90th minute. It was set. It was done. And then Real Madrid come back from the dead. Just unbelievable. Jimmy, break it down for us. I mean, ways we can talk about this, but try and do the best that you can.
No. Can we talk about this chronologically? Because I'm still in somewhat disbelief that Casemiro didn't get a goddamn yellow card in this game. Like, how is that even remotely possible? He two-footed Kevin De Bruyne from behind, like 10 minutes into the game. Like, how does that not even warrant a card? And then he does... some crazy.
Yeah, I'm giving you. I'm doing a check of madness. So Casemiro,
Casemiro. Right. I mean, he took down Phil Foden at midfield. Like, these are obvious textbook yellow cards with a referee that likes to give yellow cards historically throughout his career. And for whatever reason, Casemiro always dodges it with ref. I just don't understand it. So I kind of wanted to start there. Check. But this game had everything. And I actually thought when watching the first half, watching the beginning of the second half, that maybe Real Madrid had run out of their good luck because they had so many clear-cut chances. Karim Benzema missed a pretty clear-cut header in the first half where if it was against PSG or Chelsea, he's burying that, right? And then Vinicius had he had a pretty good chance at the start of the second half. Didn't finish it. I was like, all right, well, it makes sense. You can't be that miraculous. You can't have that many miracles happen in 3 consecutive rounds, but I was proven wrong. And one of the things that I think shifted the game was when Zinchenko and Gundogan came on, they immediately made an impact for City and that led to the first goal. But then Pep made 2 other subs. He brought on Grealish and he brought on Fernandinho. And I don't think those 2 subs in particular worked out. And not to say he was overthinking. I think that's where a lot of people are going to go, but those just 2 subs did not work out and they needed to close out the game and they couldn't make it happen. And Grealish needed to close that cross that led to Rodrigo's second goal. And I go ahead, James Bench. I don't even know what to say other than that.
But you know, it's sort of very there, but for the grace of God, go City. But Grealish did. He did almost everything.
That's true. He got that one cleared off the line. I forgot.
Cleared off the line by Ferland Mendy. Sorry, bear with me. Is my mic?
No, I wanted to ask one thing, Benj, before you keep going. I wanted to ask one thing was, why did De Bruyne come off? I think that was a big mistake.
He wasn't playing very well.
He looked a little tired to me.
It's Kevin De Bruyne. I think he took him off a little. If he was tired, that's one thing, but I thought he took him a little too early.
Well, the one thing I would say, kind of my view on that would be, he wasn't playing well. Bernardo was playing fantastically. And we saw Gundogan came on and made a really positive impact towards the game. And you kind of have to, I mean, it feels like a lifetime ago, but we kind of have to remember there were two goals up on aggregate when Guardiola made these changes. This wasn't sort of a one goal, we hold approach. I mean, you know, Jimmy's mentioned some of the moments there. This wasn't perfect defensively, but they'd still held Madrid to zero shots on target for 89 minutes. And I think it's a natural 99 out of 100 managers, 100 out of 100 managers in the situation Pep Guardiola was in would have said, you know, let's keep this tight. Let's not give them anything to go on. And this was just a complete freak. It was a moment, you know, I don't think this was maybe the way City should have played it. I thought they were a bit too defensive, a bit too reactive, but you know, they got the job done until they suddenly didn't. And it was mad. And, you know, it obviously it enters the annals of City history. And there is something clearly about this team in the biggest moments in this competition that they just get a bit fragile. And I think actually the real issues were more what happened after Benzema's goal, where I don't think they really created anything. And yes, you know, in those circumstances, you probably would have wanted Kevin De Bruyne, fit or not, 100% or not. But I think this kind of really comes on, you know, the players on freak bad luck, on a magnificent bit of defending by Ferland Mendy. I feel like Guardiola did everything he could to set his team up to win this tie. And well, maybe not, but I mean, it worked for 89 minutes, and then stupid stuff happened.
It's remarkable to me that Madrid can figure out ways to get results even when they don't play well. You know, what's kind of actually funny. Of all the second legs that we've seen, or any of the games prior to this, I actually thought this was their best game over 90 minutes. They created some clear-cut chances. Now, statistically, as Benj is correct, they didn't get any shots on goal, but some of those chances were pretty clear-cut, and they were a little bit harder earned in the previous second legs, let's say. But when it's time to actually get something done, and Rodrigo, I don't know if we've been talking about him, all the love goes to Benzema, goes to Vinicius, but the guy scored a very important goal off an incredible Modric pass against Chelsea, right, which got them into extra time. And then again, he shows up in the biggest moments and is like the super sub of all super subs. Now, they're talking about going to get Kylian Mbappe. Now, if you have Vinicius, Mbappe, and Benzema, and then you have the wrist Rodrigo kid who continues to get better and better and better, you just marvel at what Madrid's got going heading forward. And Camavinga, I thought, was excellent again when he came on. And I think they're actually a little bit better when he's on, as opposed to Toni Kroos, unfortunately, as much as we all appreciate what Toni has brought to the table, World Cup winner and all that. I tweeted out, and a lot of Liverpool fans are upset with me, and you guys are welcome to get upset too. But I said, I actually already feel bad for Liverpool, because this Real Madrid team is destined to win the Champions League. It's meant to be. There's just no way you can have three miraculous comebacks in a row and not get there to the finish line to make it happen. I know that it's going to be Liverpool's revenge after Sergio Ramos and his Mo Salah armbar and Loris Karius and all this stuff. And I'd love to see Gareth Bale, by the way, make a Champions League final appearance and score a banger bicycle kick again against Liverpool. But it is incredible what Real Madrid's done. The calmness that I think that Carlo Ancelotti exudes from the sideline is really second to none. The guy is unwavering. And I thought there might have been a drop-off emotionally after winning La Liga, but they found another way to keep it going in the Champions League. We're witnessing history here, I think, with this Real Madrid run in the Champions League.
History, indeed. The first manager to make five appearances in the Champions League final. That's remarkable after also this past weekend winning in Spain, that he's won the league in five different, you know, leagues in Europe, of course. I thought the first half was pretty even, actually. Stats almost mirrored themselves. And then, to James Benj's point, Pep Guardiola was doing everything right. I mean, they weren't conceding. They were still controlling somewhat of the game, a little bit defensive. Yes. And then Real Madrid, it's just chaos. I actually think the game was won by the players on the bench. Actually, I think that's what happened, where Real Madrid, to your point, Camavinga was excellent the moment he came on as well. It's just amazing. And I still thought, because I predicted this morning that it was going to be a 2-1 win to Real Madrid, but Man City to win in extra time. Because I thought that Pep Guardiola would do what actually Real Madrid did, James Bench, which is, you know what? We're in extra time. We got to go for it. We can't like hold for something. And I felt that, you know, maybe it wasn't, I don't know. I just don't know how to explain when you lose to Real Madrid is my point, James Bench. Like, where is Pep Guardiola looking at when he looks at the tape?
Well, I think they froze, didn't they? I mean, I thought the player they missed the most was Walker. Obviously, he could.
He was great against Vinicius Jr. in the beginning.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And just brought a composure to that. Even though this is the strange thing, I thought Zinchenko played pretty well. But I thought Walker brought a composure and a bit of veteran leadership to that defence that no one else was really offering. Ruben Dias, I think you just put it down to him not being fully match sharp. But he was quite disappointing. Edison, again, it's that thing you go, well, he's hardly tested for 90 minutes. He looked a bit poor. I think it feels like basic, lazy analysis to just put all this down to mentality, because I don't know. I can't, you know, I have no way of knowing what's going on in those players' heads. But I thought from what I could see on the pitch, they just lost it. 179 minutes of pretty good football, really undone there.
I know it's a cliche, but part of it is mentality, the Real Madrid mentality of knowing what to do in these situations. Their DNA is about these situations, and Man City, as good as they are, maybe they're not. I mean,
I think what's more significant, I think, is how City do respond to that adversity and how quickly the plan just went. You know, they were pumping balls long into the box with Aymeric Laporte as an auxiliary centre forward. Like, this isn't how you play. Like, I know that this is stress, this is nerves, and people get desperate in those moments. But surely after all this time, they would kind of be able to drop back to these underlying principles and go, let's just keep the ball. Let's take the fouls that come our way. I think this is the first time all season I've genuinely thought it. But I was like, God, they could do with a big man up top. Because this was like Graham Taylor's England at the end, like knocking it long to Les Ferdinand, you know.
Yeah.
And that's perfect for Real Madrid. It's strange to see them just lose it like that.
Before Jimmy jumps on, a call to action to everybody that's joining, new viewers, commenters, keep on those comments, keep on those questions as well. Kel, are you really bringing Tottenham into this? Let's just talk about Real Madrid and Man City. Kel, I get it what you're saying, but Jimmy, listen, how do you, where does Man City go from here then? Obviously, the focus is all on the Premier League, but how much is this going to be a drop on confidence? Because this Liverpool machine keep on going. Although, to your point, you think Real Madrid's this is their tournament to lose.
it's anytime you want to discount Madrid, they prove you wrong. So I'm just going to stay out of that for now until we get into some preview mode, proper preview mode for the Champions League final. With regard to Man City, what happens if they get caught by Liverpool? And then in the Premier League, it's possible, I think, at this point. I think there's going to be an emotional letoff because this was the trophy they were chasing. And because of how they lost it, it was the 90th minute when Rodrigo scored. And they gave up the next goal in the 91st minute. So to Benj's point, the fact that they had that type of collapse and that capitulation. Now, in fairness to what Liverpool did the day before against Villarreal, they had a halftime. All right, they gave up their two goals. And then got it even at that point, and then had a halftime to
Real scored too early, Real Madrid scored too late.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's like they had that little bit of stoppage in between to like, okay, hold on, we're Liverpool, you know, and City didn't have that moment. Had they had gotten, well, I guess they couldn't have drawn if it would have ended 1-1 or whatever, City would have gone through. But if they just would have had a moment of just the pause and say, hey, listen, we got this or whatever, I think City see themselves out of it. But because it just got out of hand, it's crazy at times to think that players of this ability and of this much experience can still fall into these traps that it's such a cliche that you could give up two goals in 2 minutes, or that you're going to start lumping balls forward like Graham Taylor. And that just no way City would ever do that. And then you see it and you just can't believe it's happening. And of course, it's going to be happening to the team like Real Madrid. I mean, I'm still really grasping for the right words to describe what I've seen, because every single time we see Madrid play in the knockout rounds, you just don't know how they're going to do it. and they figure out a way to pull something out of their butts, man. It is unbelievable to see. So fair play to them. I have to bounce. Thank you for having me, everybody. I'll be on HQ a little bit later.
Jimmy,
I love your faces. I love your faces. I can't wait to start to preview this final.
We love you, buddy. In soccer, we trust Jimmy Conrad, HQ. Jimmy Conrad, see you later, Jimmy Conrad. Thank you so much, Jimmy Conrad. And it's just James Benj and yours truly. And James, I promise we won't keep you too long. I know it's late for you, and you got to go to Ibrox tomorrow as well. So it's a long week for you. Well, same question to you, James Bench. Man City, where do they go from here? How does this damage too much the journey that is to reclaim the Premier League title? What do you think?
I mean, certainly it feels possible. I someone's going to help me with what their game is at the weekend. Very well prepared for this, but I think I've been so deep, diving deep into tonight's game. And I think I'm
Newcastle, James Bench.
Well, there you go. That feels like one where points could be dropped. Certainly, you're less confident about them winning the Premier League. But actually, for me, one of the things that intrigues me is when does this all kind of weigh too heavily on them? Because I don't, you know, there's a large part of me that says, look, they will be a better team next year. If you add Erling Haaland to this, it solves an issue that crops up every once in a while. If you add, I mean, I don't know where else you desperately need to strengthen, but if you feel like strengthening somewhere else, you know, maybe adding another forward as well alongside Haaland, you could be hugely successful and once more be the best team in Europe, which is what they've basically been for the last 5 years. But will you ever trust them again in the decisive moments of big European games? And will they ever trust themselves? That's where I'm sitting now with City, is it's getting to the stage, much like with PSG, where I just am going to start doubting that they have it in them, because it will be a lot of the same players that have been scarred by this. And it's the fact that it keeps happening in ever more bizarre ways. You know, you have VAR really robbing them against Spurs. Mm-hmm. You have Guardiola inflicting issues on them, especially against Lyon, arguably against Chelsea. And now you have just 1 minute, 2 minutes where everything fell apart. I'm coming round to the view that kind of this particular iteration of City will not win the Champions League, and that Pep might not at this club. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I have got to the stage where it just feels like I can't quite trust them in the semi-finals and quarterfinals.
Yeah, at the very beginning of the season, when they were, you know, putting together the squad, they just purchased Jack Grealish and everything looked, you know, how they were looking, whatever. I did say, I do worry about them in the Champions League purely because I feel that sometimes you need more than the X's and O's. You need somebody up front that can just do something, like when things are not working or whatever. I don't know if it's as simplistic as that, but I do believe that part of it has to do with that. To your point, you know, does Erling Haaland solve that situation in the summer, give them a different type of contrast? I understand they have so much to give up front, and Pep Guardiola likes to alterate and, you know, move his players around, and Gabriel Jesus can sometimes be on the wing, and then, you know, Phil Foden as a false nine, etc. But they do need something, and I think it's been proven today, you know, in certain situations. I mean, how important was that Mendy clearance from Jack Grealish too? Like, you know, that could have been it. That could have been the game. There's, you know, it's just, you know, just tiny little moments like that.
Yeah, and that's also what kind of what makes you think, yeah, of course it could, because they just had the tiny little moments go against them. And you know, tiny, they even had moments within that tiny little moment go for them. Like, yeah. What was Courtois thinking?
But that's what we're about, right? That's what we said the whole time. Man City are about the narrative, right? Let's set the scene. Let's try and control the game for 90 minutes. That's pretty much what they did. In fact, they were 2-0 up. This game looked good for them. They organized the thing. And then Real Madrid are the complete opposite of organization. They're about moments. They're about just taking and grabbing that chance when they have it and reacting to what's happening. It's just unbelievable to me. I don't know how much we talked about Newcastle at home, James Bench, but then they have away at Wolves, away at West Ham.
Literally, Wolves are playing in their flip-flops.
Yeah, true. Away at West Ham, at home to Villa, and that should do it. At home to Villa, last day of the season.
And there's another team playing in their flip-flops. Yeah. it's hard to know, because ultimately, you know, everything you say is right about controlling the games, and more often than not that works. Like, you know, we saw that in last year's semi-final. City dictated the terms, really. They were dominant across the pitch, and that time it was reflected in the scoreline, even though there were freak moments. But I guess, you know, this happens, and I don't know where I think see City. I think I know where I see Real Madrid, which is it's still coming. It's still in the post. Like, I just cannot believe that you will get away with the bad moments again against Liverpool, a team that are perfectly primed to punish any lapses in concentration. And actually, there was some great defending by Eder Militao, I thought, and Nacho as well. And Thibaut Courtois was great in goal. Yeah. But here you have in Liverpool a team that can beat Real Madrid any way they want. But it, I mean, that doesn't mean they will. But this is a team that can dominate with possession, like grind you down with Thiago, with Fabinho, with Trent Alexander-Arnold. Or if you kind of come on to them, they'll rip through you on the break. You know, I think, and as Mo Salah said last night, he wanted Real Madrid, and that wasn't just about revenge for Kiev. It was also about the fact that he knows that Man City are a better team than Real Madrid.
Well, we will see. And that is the final, Real Madrid against Liverpool. It's a repeat, of course, of that time in Kiev. It was the third straight Champions League victory from that run for Real Madrid. It was actually Cristiano Ronaldo's final Champions League appearance with Real Madrid as well. And obviously, you know, Gareth Bale scored that beauty, the Salah injury. So obviously there's a lot going on in that game. They are different from that moment. Perhaps not so much Real Madrid in terms of philosophy, in terms of what they do in the Champions League. But Liverpool are definitely a different team for the better. They are stronger. They are deeper. You know, people are talking about this is the best Liverpool squad ever. It's hard to argue against it. So at face value right now, James Benge, you are leaning towards Liverpool despite what the narrative may be pointing to.
Yeah, I'm leaning pretty strongly towards them because they've got some pretty tempting narratives behind them. I mean, we'll know then whether or not it's a quadruple or just a treble, not the treble. But, you know, this is a team that have proven pretty much impossible for any team to beat over two legs in a cup competition. You know, when you can eliminate this Liverpool team, turns out you actually can't. They are, like you said, Luis, they are a completely radically different squad. We saw that last night, didn't we, with how Luis Diaz off the bench turned the tide. They will have those weapons in the same way that Madrid did back in 2018. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Gareth Bale came off the bench in that game to win. And you know, that was the time when Madrid had those game changers. We've seen they still do. Rodrigo, Camavinga, excellent young players. Liverpool's game changers off the bench, maybe a little bit more experienced, a little bit more battle hardened, you know. They can bring in a Naby Keita. They can bring in a James Milner, Firmino or Jota or whoever it might be off the bench.
Real Madrid. This is so difficult. By the way, Jaime Macias is a good, our friend. This is the most played continental final out of anybody. Liverpool against Real Madrid. No more than any.
A UEFA Cup, hasn't there?
Including UEFA Cups. That's right. Including Champions League. This is the most played continental final.
It's a funny one because it's probably the, you know, the idea, if you were sort of saying what would be the best European Cup final, you know, picking, I get to know, a team from the ages, you know, it would be two from maybe the three of, I mean, Madrid, Liverpool would be right up there, and then maybe you've got your Bayern and you're into your AC Milan or whoever. But I think this is like, you know, that stat really sort of proves the point that this is the European final. But also, I mean, of course, I'm biased. I'm English. I am the Premier League guy for CBS. I wanted two English teams in the final, like from a professional or from a personal perspective. But I do think also that would have been the two best teams in the world. Like, and it's very rare we get that in a European Cup final, I have to say.
I had a tweet ready on the 89th minute. I had a thread ready saying Man City, Liverpool, the two best teams in Europe, arguably the world from the strongest, the best league in the world. I'm also a Premier League guy. I was ready for it. And it was a deserved final. It was the one that you expected. This is the two strongest teams facing off against each other. Why not? But then comes Real Madrid, and I just don't know what to make of it. From a chaotic perspective, but from a historical perspective, it's the most played continental final out there. So it is going to be intriguing. And I guess from a Karim Benzema perspective, a Luka Modric perspective, it's going to be an absolute festival. And Carlo Ancelotti, by the way, just to repeat, his fifth Champions League final, which is kind of...
And if you thought Benzema had motivation throughout this competition, he's heading back to France, he is going to be determined. As a guy from Lyon, I'm sure there's extra motivation to do it in Paris as well. He will want to... I don't like talking about Ballon d'Ors and things like that, especially at this stage of the year. But he will be thinking, this is my Ballon d'Or if I play well.
Yeah, but there's just so much talent in this. Mohamed Salah, Luis Diaz, Diogo Jota, Sadio Mane, Karim Benzema, Luka Modric. My God, Vinicius Jr. It's just going to be fantastic. I like it from a aesthetic perspective because one of them is heavy metal football. The other one is kind of like, let's react to the heavy metal and let's see what happens. It's bound to be a cracking game in Paris. And good point about Karim Benzema returning to his nation and seeing what he can do in the capital. Unbelievable. By the way, very quickly, obviously, this was the first installment of scrapping the away goal rule. How would you assess it? What would you make of it?
Yeah, I think it's fair. It's clearly not, it's not robbed us of much drama, has it?
It did favor Real Madrid, obviously, like with the mentality side, because they are, Man City from 4-3. Yeah.
It would have been a very different tie. But then the first leg would have been I just don't think you would have had that first leg. And I would need to sit down and go through all of it game by game. But it feels like we've had a lot of high scoring ties because teams don't have to worry about conceding at home. Mm. And it feels like we've had, we've not had that many games where one team's just gone, we're defending. And when we've seen them, they've been in like the round of 16 when teams are playing opponents that just aren't very good anyway.
Yeah. No, very true. But that's a question to all of you, by the way, everybody watching as well. What do you make of it, of scrapping away the goal rule? Did you like it? Do you want it back? What do you think? We'd love to hear from you. And like and subscribe, of course, youtube.com/ Diego Lasso. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Diego Maradona's shirt sold for a record.
We'd love to hear from you and like and subscribe.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And then also Europa League and Conference League. We'll chat some final thoughts as well. And that will be a James Benjelami, Diego Lasso, Champions League Wednesday recap. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. Champions League, que golazo recap. James Benji, Diego Maradona shirt, and the famous, amazing, incredible, wow game, obviously, and World Cup of Slovakia, where he basically won it by himself. The shirt was sold, a record, $8.9 million. It completely surpassed, in terms of sport memorabilia, I believe Babe Ruth was the highest up until that point. Unbelievable stuff. And I believe it was because of the swap jersey from that game. Is that correct, Steve Hodge, who was playing against them? They swapped shirts in that game, and he thought, you know, let's make some money out of it. Unbelievable stuff there. Here's a question for you, James Benjamin, everybody watching. What shirt would make the most money if it was put at auction from this Champions League season?
This, I mean, it's going to be something Benzema related, isn't it? I mean, which was his best game? Maybe the one against PSG. I'm sure that would have an awful lot of bidders. I know what sports memorabilia I would bid on. None of this football, not a shirt. All right. Shirt done.
I know what you're going to say. Talk to me. Go ahead.
Well, no, I don't think you do. I would bid for, and here's a very niche reference for our American audience. Well, it's not niche for our British audience, but for our American audience, will we? I would bid for Ben Stokes' cricket bat from when he made that unbeaten century, one of the greatest innings I've ever seen in my life, to beat Australia in the third test of the last Ashes series here in England. Yeah. A lot of that, I imagine, means absolutely nothing to most of our viewers.
Definitely not to America. I thought you were going to go Knicks wise. I thought you were going to go Patrick Ewing, Walt Frazier. I thought that's what you were.
Never win anything, do they?
No. Well, Walt Frazier, come on now. Yeah. Come on now. All right.
I'd go for one of his suits.
Yeah, exactly. And Mauricio says Alaba's chair goes for way more money than any shirt. Fair enough. I don't know. Yeah, Des Norris says, Cristiano, Sheriff's Cristiano. That's a good one. Yeah. I think Benzema's up there. It's hard to argue against Karim Benzema making the most in this Champions League campaign as well. Arnaud Danjuma, throw it in there.
Right. By transitive properties, don't Sheriff get to be Champions League winners?
Yeah.
Beat Real Madrid.
Well, there you go.
Lineal champions.
At Real Madrid, too. So exactly right, my friend. Very, very good point. All right, let's move on to Europa League, Conference League semifinals. They continue. James Bench, you're going to be there at the Ibrox as Rangers host Leipzig. What are you expecting? What are you thinking? This is going to be a difficult game for Rangers, but they're at home. Ibrox always a 12th man.
And some good news fitness-wise as well. Aaron Ramsey sounds like he'll be fit. Kamar Roof as well. And they maybe have found a good moment to play Leipzig. Obviously, Tedesco side won the home leg, but they've lost two games in the Bundesliga. I think they're going to have to be conscious of the fact that, you know, they've got to fight for fourth place in the Bundesliga. You can't take anything for granted because you know they'll know they'll be in for a tough matchup in the final. So I'm intrigued to sort of see how Leipzig approach this. And then, kind of as we were saying on the preview pod, the longer Rangers stay in this, if Leipzig can't win it quickly, that Ibrox crowd, I'm so excited. I've never seen it in person before, but everyone I speak to says it's particularly fantastic on European nights, and they don't get much bigger than this, so I cannot wait.
I love it. And West Ham are traveling to Eintracht Frankfurt. They're down 2-1. What do you make of that one?
Yeah, Eintracht Frankfurt do struggle at home a lot more than they do away, and I think you could see in the way they played that first leg that there probably would be a team that would like to play more on the counter than being the home team allows them to. And West Ham is just, there's something about this team. I think they might not quite have enough to get across the line. But when you've got Declan Rice in that midfield, and I think he's, you know, one of the best midfielders in the world, if he can really stamp his mark on the game, if you can get him and him on the ball, Suchek moving up, making those late runs, you can get it out wide and get it in the box, you've got a really good chance. I still favour Frankfurt slightly, but I think this one is borderline too close to call.
Yeah, it's only 2-1. It's only 2-1, and I think for West Ham being away from home, they don't care. They'll do, and to your point, it's all about how Declan Rice dictates that midfield. Europa Conference League as well, by the way. Roma host Leicester City. and Marseille against Feyenoord, which was a cracking game in the first leg. What are you expecting from those two games?
I love Jose Mourinho's comments today, where he was going on about he couldn't help but make another dig at Daniel Levy about how he'd taken Tottenham all the way to the final, and then he never got to manage. I'm sure he will get the chance this time. I'm kind of coming around to Roma winning this one. I think there's going to be... I mean, they're not a team with a great... I mean, they have a great history in Europe, but in terms of actually getting to finals, from my memory, I don't remember in my lifetime seeing Roma in a European final. Someone's probably going to pull something up, but I have to say, my football memory only goes back to the late 90s. I'm quite young. So, late 90s. But then Leicester, I mean, these are great semi-finals. Sorry, I've gone off on a bit of a tangent there, but like four fantastic teams that I'd be more than happy to see in any of these competitions. So it should be a cracker, and Marseille final as well. That's going to be a really fun one. I'm looking forward to seeing how much chaos Matteo Guendouzi can cause in a European semi-final second leg.
Yeah, they're going to be absolutely fantastic finals. Yeah, Leicester City, I mean, you know, it's going to be hard for them. Just, I feel like, once again, the Olympico Stadium is going to be, you know, rooting for that sort of home crowd. There's a lot of, you know, I mean, I'm just, as you were asking that question, I'm just looking at their history in Europe. To your point, actually, it's not great in terms of reaching anything of significance. In fact, there was an Intercity Fair Cup, which they won in 1960, 1961, and the Anglo-Italian Cup, which they won in 1972. So your educated guess is correct, James.
I mean, obviously there was that run to the semi-finals a while back, but, you know, I mean, that was a proper Real Madrid-style run, wasn't it?
Right, and reaching the actual final indeed is not. But in terms of their coefficient ranking in UEFA, from a UEFA club perspective, they're pretty high up there. You know, out of all the nations, they're just behind Sevilla, in front of Tottenham, Ajax, your Arsenal, etc. So we'll see what happens if they can make it happen. All right, well, that's it, my friend. The only final thoughts we had was good luck to Seattle Sounders as they look to make history, becoming the first MLS club to win CONCACAF Champions League as they face Pumas in the second leg, by the way. Check out In Soccer We Trust, full preview episode on that, YouTube and podcast as well. But James Bench, final thoughts. I know you got a long day tomorrow, so I wish you good travels. But final thoughts, my friend.
Yeah, up the Pumas or whatever they say. I don't
know. You're rooting for Pumas. You are just biggest troll, bro.
Why would you not root for a team called Pumas?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I mean, Seattle have Raul Ruiz as a Peruvian, so I have a little soft spot for
them. But look at that badge.
Yeah, that's true. Pumas. But yeah, it should be a good game. That's 10 p.m. I'm going to be fast asleep. I'm married to a teacher. I go to bed in about an hour, so no chance.
Probably going to have to get up for my flight in the morning.
Yeah, there's no way. The real gangster stuff is going to bed early, getting up early. That's the real gangster stuff. Absolutely. James Bench, thank you so much, buddy. Safe flight. Safe travel, my friend. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everybody. Qué Golazo Pod on Twitter, youtube.com/ Qué Golazo. Please keep on subscribing. Keep on sharing. Spread the word. And we have it now. Real Madrid against Liverpool in Paris. You can watch it exclusively on Paramount Plus, CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ, some pregame shows as well. All of it is going to go down. It's going to be a fantastic final. And we got so much action to come as well. We can preview and so much more. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next time. James Bench, LME, Qué Golazo. See you then. Have a good week.
Peace out.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.